Good morning, church. So go ahead and open up your Bibles. We're going to be in the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, then Luke. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And over the next 12 weeks, we are going to be walking through the book of Luke together. And I have to tell you, I'm really excited about this. I think it's always great when we can just spend some time kind of looking at one of the greatest books ever written. And over these next 12 weeks, would really encourage you to dive into the Word with me. If you are new here, or if you haven't picked up a guide, out here at the table right here in the back of the room, and then out in the welcome table, there are guides that go along with all of the messages that we have. And Cody does such a great job at kind of organizing it and putting it together. And we, what we do is we have our preaching up here that happens, and then you have your guidebook that goes a little bit deeper. And then while you're doing that, the kids are learning the exact same thing over in the kids' church. And so whenever we get together after church, you know, kids and parents can actually walk together and talk about the things that they've learned together. So that's just how we do discipleship here at ECOB. And so what I love about looking at the book of Luke is that we get to walk alongside with Jesus over these next 12 weeks in a very intentional way. Now, let's be honest, all of us need a little bit more Jesus in our life, yes? And a little bit of everything else, less of everything else, right? You know, we're living in an age where no one knows what's true anymore. We just don't. You know, every headline says breaking news. Every YouTube channel has a shocked face on it. Every social media post says something like, you won't believe what happens next. And then you go and you click it, right? And you're waiting and you're waiting. And it never comes to what happens next. I don't know about you, I get really upset about that. And when you click on that and you discover that nothing absolutely happens, and I think we have all become experts on uncertainty. You know, one article says coffee's gonna kill you, and then the next says coffee is gonna help you live forever, right? One doctor says carbs are evil, another one says fat is evil. Meanwhile, I'm standing in my kitchen last night, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning with a brownie in my hand, thinking that every food group is evil. And it's very difficult, you know? You know, we're drowning with misinformation, and I believe it's starving us out. It's starving us as believers. That's why Luke is such a gift. See, Luke begins his gospel almost like a historian in a courtroom does, right? And I believe many people skim over the first four verses in the book of Luke, and we get right to John the Baptist, right? But we're going to spend some time because the first four verses of Luke, I think, are extremely important. He basically is saying, listen, I'm not making this up. I'm not spreading rumors. I'm investigated. I've interviewed eyewitnesses. I carefully examined the evidence. I wrote this so that you can know for certain. And so before we jump into the text, I want us to talk a little bit about this remarkable book. First, Luke was a physician. He was a doctor, and which means he was the kind of person who kind of notices the details of things. You know, doctors ask a lot of questions that nobody else will ask, right? I mean, doctors will say, how long has it been hurting, right? Where does it exactly hurt? What does the pain feel like? Is it sharp or is it dull? I mean, is it burning? The doctors don't just settle for, well, it feels okay, right? They want the data. And so Luke brings this kind of investigative understanding into the heart, set, and mind of Jesus. You know, he wasn't one of these original 12 disciples. He wasn't present for Jesus's ministry. Instead, he kind of became a traveling companion of the apostle Paul, and he set out to gather testimony from all of those who had actually seen Jesus. And so you can imagine Luke sitting down with various people who have actually put their eyes on Jesus, and he said, like, tell me again what happened in Bethlehem. Like, what was Mary thinking? You know, what was Jesus like as a child? What happened on that mountain? What did you see after the resurrection? And so he was asking all of these really important questions because he wasn't collecting fairy tales, right? He was gathering eyewitness testimony. And here's another fascinating detail. Luke also wrote the book of Acts, right? And so together, Luke and Acts make up about a third of the New Testament. He wrote more than Paul did. And so for the next 12 weeks, we're going to encounter a Jesus who welcomes the outsiders, who lifts up the forgotten, who confronts the proud, who heals the broken, and who ultimately goes to the cross for a sinner like me. And Luke shows us that Jesus came for everybody. Rich people, poor people, religious people, right? Messed up people, people who have their lives all together, people who can't find their lives with both hands and a flashlight, right? Luke's message is clear. Nobody is beyond the reach of God's grace. Amen? No, you didn't hear me. Nobody is beyond the reach of God's grace. Yeah, that's important, because if that was the case, then I would be beyond the reach of God's grace. You would be beyond God's reach, right? I think it's important to understand that, because if God only saved people who had it all together, this room would be empty, right? And Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 is going to begin where we begin. And so as we do, we want to ask this question: can we really trust Jesus? Amen, that's good. Now, I'm a deeply suspicious person. I am suspicious of major things. There is a suspicious Smurf, everybody. You can look it up. I do my research, right? But I'm also suspicious about weird things as well. For example, I never trust online reviews. Anybody? I think other people do it. They trust it, right? But if a product has 8,000 five-star reviews, I begin to become immediately skeptical about this, right? Nobody knows that much. Nobody likes anything that much. And you know, a review says, you know, I this vacuum cleaner has changed my life. I think, boy, you need some more hobbies. You know, this is not good at all. Or if you ever heard about furniture online, right, the picture looks amazing. The description says, oh, it's luxurious. And the box arrives and you spend 6 hours putting it together. You have 17 screws left over. The instructions appear to have been translated from Swedish to Portuguese to Klingon, then to English. And then when you're all done with all of that, the finished product looks like a medieval torture device, doesn't it? And at the moment you realize something, you should have investigated this more clearly, more carefully. And the older I get, and I am old, I'm getting there, right? I want more reliable information, right? I don't want the hype. I don't want rumors, right? I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. I can, and I want the truth, right? And that's exactly where Luke starts. You know, but isn't that what all of us want? We want certainty, right? We want confidence. We want something solid, because life has a way of making us question everything, right? A diagnosis arrives, a relationship fails, right? A job disappears, prayers seem to go unanswered, and we suddenly start asking questions like, can I trust God? Can I trust the Bible? Can I trust what I've been taught in Sunday school all of these years, right? Can I trust Jesus? And many people think that believing, right, that faith means believing without evidence. And if you just kind of close your eyes and you cross for your fingers and you hope for the best, but deep down we want something stronger than wishful thinking, right? We want to know whether or not Christianity is actually true, because if Jesus really rose from the dead, everything changes, doesn't it? Right? Paul says our faith, right, is useless if he did not raise from the dead. And so we've got to come to this belief that he actually did what he said he did, and that Luke, what he's writing in here, is actually true. Can we really be certain, or are we just taking a blind leap in the dark? And that's where Luke kind of steps into this conversation. So let's look at what Luke actually says. And here's what's fascinating. Luke doesn't begin the gospel the way most of us would, right? If we were writing a story, I don't know, I'd probably start off with some angels, right? I want some hype. I want people to get engaged, right? I want shepherds. I want a virgin birth. I want a star. Maybe some dramatic movie trailer voice, right? In a world where darkness ruled, one baby would change everything. Like, that's what we want. But Luke says, dear Theophilus, before we get, let me explain my research methods to you. That's kind of how he starts off here. And it's like the starting of a Marvel movie with an accounting report, right? And nobody expects this, but Luke wants us to understand something before he tells us anything else. He wants you to know, he wants me to know, that Christianity is not built on imagination, right? It's built on history. And in fact, Luke opens sounds more like the introduction of an ancient historical work than a religious book. Luke is essentially saying, before you decide whether Jesus is your Lord and Savior, let's establish that Jesus was actually here, right? And you think about how unusual this is. Myths begin with this kind of language, once upon a time. Right? That's what a myth starts with. In a land far away, long ago, nobody asks where Cinderella lives. Nobody wonders whether the three little pigs kind of had building permits because everybody knows that those aren't true, right? They know that they're not true. But everybody understands or desires to understand that Jesus was here, literally lived here, right? And if you can imagine Luke showing up today, you can imagine that he would have three laptops and six notebooks and a voice recorder and an unhealthy dependence on coffee. And people would ask, Luke, what are you doing this morning? How's the gospel coming? And he's probably still thinking, hey, I got to make sure I get some facts right here. And he's still asking questions because accuracy matters to him. In verse 1, go with me, chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. Many have undertaken to compile a narrative, right? Many, not one, not two, many. Luke is saying that there are already numerous accounts that are circulating about Jesus. The story of Jesus wasn't hidden. It wasn't a secret. It wasn't whispered in dark corners, right? I mean, the events were public. People were talking. People were writing. People were remembering. And imagine trying to invent a fake story while thousands of people were eyewitnesses and still alive. I mean, that would be impossible. It'd be like me standing up here this morning and saying, guess what, everybody? I dunked on LeBron James this past week. There would be no way you would believe that. First of all, I can't dunk. Second of all, I don't know LeBron James. And third, you know that I'm lying to you, right? I mean, it's really important. And Luke says that Christianity emerged from the view of eyewitnesses. There were people that were actually there that saw what happened. And in just a moment here, I want us to talk about this guy, Theophilus, just for a second. I won't spend much time on him because often people wonder, what in the world is this Theophilus guy doing here? Theophilus was actually a real person and he was an important one, right? It says that he was most excellent, okay, which is not a Bill and Ted Adventure kind of reference. He was actually there. It was an indicator that he was probably a Roman officer or a high official. And what's more important is what his name means. See, Theophilus, right, means loved by God or friend of God. And so while he was a real person, there's a hint that this letter is being written to a friend of God, a person that God loves. And so as we go through this, I want us to consider that this letter was written for those who are friends of God and who are loved by God. And he goes on to say, Luke, in chapter 1, he says, the original eyewitnesses and servants of the word handed down to us. And I want to pause here because this word eyewitness is huge. It's absolutely huge. There were people who saw Jesus. There were people who heard Jesus, not people who just knew a person who knew a person or not just something that they were making up in their mind and heart. These people watched him. They heard him teach. They saw him heal. They watched him die and they saw him raise again to be with God. They saw this. They all saw this thing. And the church wasn't built by people who said, we have a philosophy, or they weren't saying that we have a self-help program. They were saying they witnessed something. They saw something. They knew that something was happening right then and there, and they saw it, and they were willing to testify to that. I think eyewitness testimony carries weight with you, doesn't it? Especially when the witnesses gain nothing from that testimony. Right? See, I think many people, they say things because they want fame, or they say things because they want attention. They say things because, you know, they feel like they can kind of be a big person. They can have all this knowledge, and people will say things for money. People will lie for power. They will do all of this here. But listen, friends, when you talk to Jesus in this day and age, you are arrested. No one goes up and says, hey, I want to join something. And the next thing, oh, guess what? You're going to get stones thrown at you. Let's do that for Sunday afternoon. We don't want to do that. These people are getting thrown into jail. They're being persecuted, rejected, and killed. No one does this saying, I want to join this scam. And then all of a sudden, you're going to get taken off to the gallows, right? I mean, That's what's so important about this. These eyewitnesses were willing to step forward to share about the power and the purpose and the wonder of Jesus, the miracles of him, the words of him and everything, knowing that they were gonna get ridiculed. Who does that? Unless they're telling the truth. No one does that for a lie. There's power in this eyewitness conviction, right? And then Luke says something extraordinary. He says, since I have carefully investigated everything from the very first, right, to write you in an orderly sequence, most honorable, or some versions say most excellent. I like the excellent one. Most excellent Theophilus, right? And I love that phrase, carefully investigated. Luke isn't saying, I had a feeling and I had a vision, or I followed my heart. Honestly, let me tell you, friends, following your heart is terrible advice. My heart wants tacos at midnight. I'm not following that, right? My heart wants to buy things that I cannot afford. My heart thinks exercise is persecution. The Bible never says, follow your heart. It doesn't. Luke says, investigate it, research it, examine it, verify it, think it. Christianity has never feared honest questions. Truth comes with scrutiny, friends. Counterfeits fear investigation. Truth invites it. Have you noticed how many scam emails we get that says, act now, limited time, don't ask questions? That's because lies don't survive examination, friends. Take Luke, it says, ask questions is what he says. You know, check sources. Look at the evidence that I'm presenting to you. Examine the claims. The Christian faith has been under a microscope for 2,000 years, right? Kings have attacked it. Philosophers have attacked it. Skeptics, critics have attacked it, right? Empires have tried to destroy it, yet it is still here. And we're still reading Luke. And we're still talking about Jesus, and we're still proclaiming the gospel, and that is something to rest your heart upon. Then we arrive at Luke's kind of purpose statement, right? Why is he writing this book? Why is this even here? It says, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed. Certainty. That's what he wants us to know, that everything in this book has been based on eyewitness accounts. Everything in this book is vitally important. Everything in this book is true and factual and is no error. It is infallible is what he's saying here. Everything in here is true. There is certainty, and that's the goal. And we need to be careful because Luke isn't saying that like we're gonna know everything about everything, right? No one knows everything. I don't know sometimes where I left my phone, right? I mean, we don't know everything at all times, right? Luke isn't promising exhausted knowledge, right? He's promising confidence. Confidence in Jesus, confidence in the gospel, confidence in what you hear to be true. And notice how beautiful this is. God didn't have to give us this kind of evidence. God could have simply said, believe because I told you to believe. And instead, God enters history and he enters real places with real people, with real events, with real witnesses, with real investigation because God wants our faith to be grounded and the life and ministry of Jesus. And the Christian faith is not a leap into the darkness, it's a step into the light. Amen. It's informed trust, right? It's making sure that we know what we know, that when we step out on that frozen lake, we know that the ice is going to hold us. We know what's going on, right? Faith isn't kind of pretending that something is true. It is knowing it is true because we have learned about it. It says it right here in the scriptures. And if we take the word of God as being the word of God, then we've got to know that what is in here is true, right? We know that the ice is gonna hold. We know that the evidence is there. We know that the witnesses are there. We know that the investigation is there, that Jesus is there, right? And here's where Luke kind of surprises us, because ultimately certainty isn't the destination, Jesus is. Luke didn't write this gospel for Theophilus to kind of win debates. He wrote to Theophilus so that he might know Christ. And there's a difference. See, we can know the facts about Abraham Lincoln and never meet him. You can know the facts about George Washington and never meet him. But Jesus isn't merely a historical figure that died. He is alive right now in this room. Right? And the evidence matters because it points us into relationship with him so that you can really believe, so that you can really know him, so that you can testify to him, so that you can revolve your life around him, that you can experience real life change. And church, that is the miracle of Luke's gospel. The God who created the universe didn't not remain distant. He stepped into our lives. He stepped into history, into dates and places and names, into eyewitness. He stepped into your mess. He stepped into my mess, right? He stepped into my brokenness. He stepped into the world. And Luke says, I checked it. I investigated. I talked to people. I examined the evidence. And he really was here. And so he's here right now, right? And after all the work, Luke says, that I've done, here's my conclusion. Jesus is exactly who everyone said he was. And friends, I'm here to proclaim to you on the word of God, Jesus is exactly who he says he is and forever will be. He is the one that you can trust completely. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Prince of Peace, and he is your friend. So what do we do with this knowledge? Now that we know, like we know this is true. First of all, we need to stop treating questions as enemies, right? Some people think that asking questions mean that you have a weak faith, right? And I would disagree, and I think Luke disagrees as well. His whole gospel began with investigation, right? Questions can become pathways for a deeper faith. God isn't intimidated by honest inquiry. Number two, build your confidence on Jesus, not your feelings. Friends, feelings change consistently. You wake up one morning feeling spiritual. Some mornings you wake up feeling grumpy and feeling frustrated. And truth doesn't worry about your emotions. It is the truth, right? Luke points us to the historical reality. Jesus remains who he is no matter our emotional weather that day. Third, recognize Jesus is about transformation. Notice Luke doesn't say, I wrote this so you can wing arguments. He says, I wrote this so that you can know the things that I have taught you, right? Biblical knowing is relational, it's personal, it's transformative. You can know facts about a person without actually knowing the person, right? I know facts about celebrities doesn't mean we're having lunch this week, right? Luke wants more information. He wants relationships, right? Jesus isn't someone merely to study. He is someone to follow, someone to invest your life with, someone to surrender to, someone to love, someone who changes lives. And the question isn't merely, do I believe that Jesus existed? The question is, have I surrendered my life to him? Because demons believe that Jesus existed. Historians believe that Jesus existed. But the invitation is deeper, right? It's, will you trust him? Will you follow him? Will you let him transform him? And that's where this 12-week journey begins. Not with a command, not with a miracle, not even with Jesus's words, right? It begins with certainty, right? Luke stands at the doorway of his gospel and says, you can trust this story. You can trust these witnesses. You can trust this Savior. And so over the next 12 weeks, we'll watch Jesus calm storms and heal broken people and challenge religious pride, welcome the sinners, free the crowds, tell unforgettable stories, walk towards Jerusalem, carry a cross, rise again from the tomb. And every step of the way, Luke will be telling us, this really happened. This is real. This matters. And because it's real, that means forgiveness is real. Because it's real, that means grace is real. And because it's real, that means eternal life, friends, is real. And if Jesus is real, then none of us can remain the same. And that's why Luke wrote. That's why the church has treasured this book for over 2,000 years. And that's why we're spending 12 weeks on it here this summer. Not simply to learn more information, but to meet Jesus and to know him better, to trust him more deeply, and to be transformed by him. So church, welcome to Luke. Right, buckle up. We're about to meet the Savior who stepped into our history, who changed the world and is still changing lives today. And unlike the internet reviews and the clickbait headlines and the furniture instructions, this story is completely trustworthy. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for our time together as brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are coming to know Jesus. And perhaps there are those in this room who are still wondering, is this even true? God, on the authority of your word, I proclaim your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we can keep diving deep into your word and understanding what it means. That we gain knowledge and insight based on the power of your Holy Spirit. And that at the end of these 12 weeks, we can say that we have learned more about the wonderful counselor, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Bread of Life. And God, we might be able to proclaim that Jesus is, in fact, the King of Kings. For we celebrate him and him alone with all of our praise. Amen.